Wow, and welcome to the Maria Liberati Show, where food meets art, travel, and life. And I'm excited today. I have Clarissa Burt on, who, gosh, I could stay here all day and just mention all the things you've done, but I'll just introduce you today. People can look you up online and they'll find out lots about you, but I'll introduce you as super author and producer and, gosh, so many things. But today you're going to talk about this wonderful book that I just love the message called The Self-Esteem Regime. And
yes.
Yes. So, and that's out now, right?
It's been out for the last, the Self-Esteem Regime has been out for the last 2.5 years, and the entire time is one of my crowning moments that I love to sort of subtly brag about is that it is in the Barnes & Noble store, stores on the shelves for the last 2.5 years, right next to Tabitha Brown, Brené Brown, Clarissa Burt, Dr. Deepak Chopra, and Dr. Joe Dispenza, all on the same shelf. And I'll tell you, Maria, it was a shock to me as a first-time author, but I have to really give a lot of credit to the gentleman that helped me write the book, who is a phenomenal literary agent. And yeah, so that all happened.
That is something you should brag about. Definitely. That's wonderful. So exciting. So tell us how you got the idea for this book, to do this book.
Yeah, I think it was just the perception that I had a perception of certain people in my life, and they had a completely different perception of self, of themselves. And so that was a little frustrating to me. It started back with my mother, for example. You know, young girls look up to their moms, and mom, I don't have the pictures here with me right now, but mom was a lovely, lovely, beautiful woman, and, you know, never wanted her picture taken because she came out horrible in pictures and all, you know. So as a young girl, I'm watching all of that happen. And my grandmother, who was another just a lovely woman and didn't need to lose an ounce, but was convinced she needed to lose weight, took 2 diet pills one day, choked on them, perforated her esophagus, and spent the following 6 weeks in the hospital. So I thought that, you know, I just would look at her and, Grandmom, you didn't need to lose an ounce and you're lovely. What is it that that you don't see in yourself that I see in you? And I found that to be really frustrating. I already, as a young girl, started to feel this like rah-rah session inside of me that just wanted to kind of go shake these women and tell them how fabulously wonderful they were.
Yes.
And then I realized that, you know, it was something that was coming from our, you know, the tribal background. We had friends and our friends as well. So our friend groups were sort of forming us. Our educative institutions were forming us. Sometimes even our faith was forming us in certain ways that may not have completely and totally served us in our greater good. When I started to move out and to model, I was modeling around the world and meeting some lovely, lovely, beautiful girls. And I noticed even in them, you know, you would think that the girls, that just because they're prettier, they would have more self-esteem. Well, it didn't work out that way. It doesn't work that way, you know. So I found out quickly that self-esteem doesn't discriminate, and that it really is something that, you know, you are a work in progress, and you definitely need to work on when it comes to your personal development and your self-improvement.
Well, yes, that is, it's such an important message. And I know, especially for the teens growing up today, there's so many issues with this, and I'm not sure what's going on, but I know from a lot of friends that have teens, there's a lot of issues going on. Maybe it's social media, but, you know, it's probably all of the above of what what you mentioned.
No, most definitely. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a really, really huge topic right now, because, you know, as far as the CDC is concerned and other metrics that we're getting out of even our own government, we've got 50% of our kids. And I want to start including the guys here too. Let's bring the boys in, because they are also, you know, they are just as much at risk as far as low self-esteem is as our girls are. And so 50% of our kids, and when I say kids, I'm talking about, you know, we go from elementary school to college, because, you know, to me, there's children to me anyway. And so as far as statistics are concerned, these are, you know, these kids are, you know, they are 50% of our kids are either depressed, they're anxious, they're thinking of committing suicide, or they have committed suicide. They're truly alarming. And so that's, you know, numbers from the CDC. Our own attorney general came out last April, actually, and said, we've got a youth mental health crisis. And yes, most of this is due to social media, and it's due to continual comparing yourself to others, your perception of yourselves to your perception of what everyone else wants you to believe about them. So that is very, you know, something we have to keep in mind. And the filters. So we've got the Dove, by the way, Dove self-esteem, their self-esteem, what is this called? Oh gosh, self-esteem campaign. There you go. It has been working years and years and years with, you know, young girls and their mental health and their self-esteem, came out last year with, you know, saying no to the filters. So hashtag no filters, hashtag turn your back, hashtag, you know, like, don't use these filters because they are creating an unreal reality for what you think you need to be looking like in order to be accepted, when who you are and what you look like is just fine. Uh-huh. So it's a fine line when we're talking about teen girls, because we all remember being teen girls and wanting to be accepted and wanting to be loved and wanting to be attractive and want to be all of those things. But I also think that we have to be teaching our kids what it is to have happy, healthy self-esteem, how to achieve it, you know, where that personal development comes in, whether it be groups, courses, classes, YouTube videos, documentaries, books, because back in my day, and you may remember, Maria, as well, we had the three bookstores. We had Walden Books, Border Books, yes. and back in the corner somewhere, you may remember, there's this little teeny section called self-help. Self-help section, Maria, had probably 40 to 50 books on it. No big deal. Today, when you walk into the only bookstore that still remains, which is Barnes and Noble, it's a $1 billion industry now, but it's rows upon rows upon rows upon rows upon rows upon rows of personal development help.
Oh, wow.
So truly, there's really no excuse, if you will, to not be getting the kind of education that we need to be, you know, to sort of be veering these kids and guiding our children into. Now, I'm not a parent, so right, I know that I don't want to sit on any pulpit where parenting is what has got to be, as far as I'm concerned, one of the most difficult jobs.
Yes, you're right.
That's all the manual, and I take off my hat to, let me preface by saying that.
Yes, yes.
What I also will say is that we need to get the devices out of these kids' hands. We need to be connecting more, even if it's that hour around the kitchen table, even if it's you chop the celery, you set the table, whatever that all is,
exactly.
And maybe 1 hour of nobody has devices. Let's get back to the table. Let's get back to how was your day, and really mean it.
Exactly.
So I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a huge part of what I like to talk about as well.
Yes, I've just noticed that. All these like friends and people that I'm acquaintances, there's all, you know, there are so many mentioning this stuff going on with their teens. And I'm like, I don't remember that when were issues, but I don't remember it being so prevalent. So back then I'm like, I was just asking a friend of mine, do you remember that this was happening like this much back when we were growing up? No, I don't.
The bullying became fast and frequent, and it became super easy. And there were also apps that you could use that would make you anonymous in order to bully a girl in your class. And so when you've got, you know, all 20 other girls and, you know, in the pack doing the same thing against one girl, it's truly damaging. It's a lifetime. I've spoken to some people at our age that say, I remember being bullied, and I will tell you, it devastated me. And it took me, I don't even know if I'm still out of the bullying that I went through in high school. This kind of thing. So that kind of, you know, what's called the mean girl syndrome, or is truly something that, you know, we've got to be more mindful of. And now apparently when the kids or the parents go to the schools and say, hey, listen, this is happening, it's really, they turn a blind ear to
they
the parents.
Do. That's what I understand that also, that I'm not a parent also. And so, but these are just coming from friends and acquaintances, and, you know, the stuff that I'm hearing, it's just unbelievable. So do you have, Clarissa, do you have some kind of like a regime or tips or things to follow? I'm sure you do in the book. Maybe you can tell us about some of that.
Yeah. Well, first of all, the book is called A Regime because a regime is an organized way of doing things. So what I decided to do is not make this a book where you're going to read about self-esteem. You're going to actually do the work. You're going to do, it's like a manual. So I call it a manual, a mission, and a movement. The self-esteem really wants to be, you know, you as a singular person doing the job, but then also entering into the collective and maybe potentially even righting some of the wrongs that you see. And I'll explain. Mm-hmm. So the first chapter is release. So all the things we were taught were etched in stone, all the generational traumas, all the things our peer groups taught us, all the things that we learned along the way, wherever we did, again, as I said before, may not always serve our greater good. It may not be exactly what, you know, what we, that we want to perpetuate in our lives. Right. So that is the ground zero piece, and probably the most difficult chapter in the book. Is not only, first of all, the most difficult chapter, and where you really are going to have to be perseverant and courageous is the biggest word of all, is by understanding that, you know, life probably isn't totally working. It feels a little uncomfortable, and here's what I like to say. I want to be a better person tomorrow than I am today. And so what do I need to do today to make sure that happens, right? Because as I said, we are a constant work in progress. So get rid of all the things that, or some of the things that you know aren't working for you, the things that we were taught. And that's where we start with chapter one. Chapter two is rebuild. So going from ground zero and starting to put up again, laying the slab, putting up the framework, you know, all of those things that are in the book. You'll see that there are different, in each chapter we have case studies, we've got affirmations, we've got Clarissa's Corner, we deal with daily demons, we journal, there's all the exercises and things that will actually get you to actually start, you know, movement toward what's next. And so that's kind of what the chapter number three is, responsibility. Each chapter begins with a reword, responsibility. So really getting deep down in yourself, saying, where am I taking responsibility for me? Uh-huh. Where am I shirking responsibility? You know, where am I placing blame? And then reel all that back in. Because again, this work comes with, when we start to do this, I want everyone to understand there is no shame, there is no blame, and there is no guilt around the work that you will be doing on yourself. So, you know, let's get in there, let's start, you know, start doing the work. And then we end the last chapter with reciprocal, which for me, Maria, was always one of the more difficult ones. I love giving and I love doing and I love making everybody happy and I love, you know, complimenting. But I love all of that because it makes me feel good. But what I didn't realize is that, you know, on the other side, people would say to me, and then I remember one day I was complaining, oh, I always have to do everything. And I forget exactly what it was. I said, gosh, I would love to be able to get some help. And one of the persons in that group said, but Clarissa, we don't know what to do for you because you're doing it all. We don't know how to help you because you don't allow yourself to be helped. And I went, ding dong. That was like, right, you know, illumination moment, you know, and bright light. So I went, okay, well, gee, thank you so much for that feedback. I really appreciate that. I'm so used to being a doer, 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 that I didn't understand how important it was, not only for me to receive, but for others to be giving to me. So that's how the 12th chapter in the book, we do that work as well. The other really cool thing that we do in the book is something that we call mirror therapy. And Louise Hayes started that in her works. And then Jack Canfield, who's the other part of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series with Mark Victor Hansen, they use this in their works as well. And that's where we actually become our own rah-rah session in the mirror. Because there are two ways to approach a mirror, Maria. One of them is to look at the mirror when we're primping and fixing and doing all those things. And mm-hmm. we thank her for that. And then there's looking into the mirror, which is a whole different process. When you stop and you start talking and saying the things that you want to say to yourself, and you're looking at yourself and it's going into your soul, it's some of the most, really, I think it's some of the most, it's the most difficult probably exercise, but definitely the most incisive.
Wow. Wow. That's wonderful. That sounds so, and is this the one thing I was thinking of while you were telling us about everything, is this book like something a teen could take and, you know, so it is something for adults.
Also. And I'll show you the book again. When I got the book, you'll see that it's made up of different triangles, if you will.
Yes.
When I just got this book, the book was pink, yellow, and orange. Uh-huh. Beautiful colors, beautiful.
Yeah.
And it definitely jumped out from the shelves, I will tell you that. It was very feminine looking. And I really want to include our men with this. Exactly. And so the only thing I asked the publisher, and I said, please, can we make the cover blue so that gentlemen will pick it up? And when I dropped the book last year in Italy, and I was, you know, out on tour with the book, half of the room, invariably, half of the room was male. And I was listening yesterday to some other statistics, I forget where, but different statistics about male suicide right now. It's, again, off the charts. The pressures are too great. The division is what it is because men are being bashed all over the place. Yeah, I don't know if we won't get into all of that.
No, but you're absolutely right.
You know, yes. People are hurting. Let me just put it that way.
Yes.
Therefore, the personal development, the self-improvement, and doing the work on yourself, I think, is the closest way to come back home, to come back to center, to really understand who you are, what your purpose is in this world, and also to learn how to deal with the pain and the trauma, because that pain and trauma it's so huge. And guys, especially, you know, girls, we can jump on a plane, sit next to somebody, and 3 hours later, you know, we've got a new best friend because we've talked to each other about our entire life.
Yes.
They know our entire childhood, you know, but guys don't do that. They don't, they don't communicate in that way. So I really wanted to open that portal, if you will, that page, that way for guys to say, again, no shame, no blame, no guilt. If you're in pain, we need to talk about that. We need for you to bring that up so that you can deal with it. And it's, again, as I said before, this work is not always the easiest, and you will need courage. But when you start down the tunnel, if you will, that dark seems so dark, you know, when you start down and you get closer and closer and closer as you do the work, that light at the end of the tunnel becomes so big, so bold, so bright, so beautiful. When you finally are out on the other side, it doesn't mean, yeehaw, I'm 100%. It means it was definitely worth it for me to do the work. And that's where, you know, that's the way I like to direct people when we're talking about happy, healthy self-esteem.
Exactly. So it's all about probably breaking out of our comfortable habits that we've just kind of kept doing all of our lives and thinking in a new way so that you incorporate all these. Wow, that's great. Yes. Yes. So many people need this right now. So that's great. So is it translated into different languages? I know you said you were just in Italy.
Yes, wow. It was translated into Italian. It came out a year and a half ago. In fact, right after you, I'll be speaking again by Zoom to a group of Italians that are waiting to talk about the book there as well with my editor. And it's also available on Amazon straight across the board in every country. Really, you know, when you ask why I do the book, I do the book because I know that, you know, apart from the real reasons as to, you know, what was the catalyst that started me thinking the way I was thinking, from mom and grandma to all the beautiful girls that I worked with, you know, on the runway and in the modeling industry back in the 80s. And so again, the correlation between those, it was, you know, here are the most beautiful women in the world. There's my beautiful mother. Why are not all models, forgive me, just, you know, some of the girls, some of that toxicity, you know, that they were bringing along with them. And so in their relationships or relationships with others, and certainly relationship to self. So I wanted to make sure that this book was, again, a manual, something to read, but where, you know, whereby the work was there for you. In other words, sit down, get your journal, do the work, make sure that, you know, you're consistent with it, and it might get uncomfortable. If it gets uncomfortable, put it down for a couple of days, you know, think through it and then pick it up again.
Exactly. That's great. Well, that's good. It's something, a nice summer project too, if you want to just, you know, get started on something and to work on yourself. But definitely, I think that's something that's really, really needed right now. That sounds wonderful. So you are doing, I know you have another interview. And I guess I was going to ask, where can people find you? Are you doing any book tours, or tell us?
Okay, well, for the moment, the book tours I did right after the book came out. So I did Barnes and Nobles across the United States. For the moment, you can find the book in Barnes and Noble. You can find it on, you know, their website, and definitely on Amazon. Amazon, we've got it in the soft copy. We've got it on Audible, and we've got it on Kindle. So it's digital as well.
So it's everywhere. And do you have, I'm sure you do, you must have a website. Do you have a website?
Yeah, okay.
So people can just, and are you on Instagram, Facebook, anything, if people want to look up? Okay. Yes. So everybody can look up, you know, join, follow Clarissa, and we will be putting this as a podcast. And then for those of you listening now, it will be also on YouTube. So you'll see the video in a couple of weeks. We'll have the video up also.
Great. Awesome. I'd like to leave everybody with something, if that's all right with you. Can I leave the last thought?
Yes.
So, you know, that we often hear about, you know, self-esteem 101. Don't compare yourself to anybody else. Don't ever compare yourself to anyone else. And invariably, we do find ourselves doing that, especially because of social media. So what I like to say is, you know, we always think that the grass is greener on the other side. Uh-huh. And so there are two things that I'd like to proffer there. And that is, the grass is always greener where you water it. Uh-huh. So be really, really careful about your thought process and all of that. And is it really truly grass on the other side, or is it astroturf? So is it fake and is it plastic? Be really, really careful about what you're taking in that you believe is true and may not necessarily be. The other thing, as we often hear about, I am enough, you are enough, we are enough, everybody's enough. So I went and I looked up enough, and in the definition of enough, Maria, is only as much as is required. So by definition, the word enough isn't enough.
No.
So the new mantra that I'd like to leave your listeners with is this: I am so much more than enough.
Oh, that's wonderful. I love that. So positive and so uplifting. I hope everyone takes that to heart and uses that. That's wonderful. Yes, I've never looked at the word enough. So definitely very enlightening. Very, very enlightening. That's wonderful, Carissa.
Yeah, thanks. It was such an important piece. I went, what the heck is enough? You know, what even is enough? And who would tell me what enough is? Is there a panel of enough people? Like the people that tell you, like, what is enough? And who decides what enough is? And so I took a deeper dive just on the word. Huh? And when I came up with only as much as is required, I went, hold the bus here. So this is that's just wrong, you know? So I love that, because as a mantra, I really do believe that if you were just to write that down on a little post-it note and keep it beside you all the time, I am so much more than just enough.
Definitely. And that's a great tip too. I know sometimes I do for motivation, I'll write stuff and I keep it with me and I just keep like concentrating on that. So that's a good tip. Yep. To write, definitely write that down. And I love your suggestion. You're basically telling people to be authentic. Be authentic, because I think that's the problem. People aren't authentic because of what they're seeing, and they're just trying to be other things that is not the real them. And everybody is a wonderful piece of art, you know, themselves, and they need to express that and to be themselves. But wonderful.
Yeah, you got it.
Definitely. Thank you so much. It was so wonderful. And please stay in touch. And if you're, you know, update us if you'd like to come on again. I'd love to have you on again.
Thank you so much.
Much success with everything.
Embark on a culinary journey with me and my Gourmand World award-winning book series, The Basic Art of Italian Cooking. Discover the secrets to authentic Italian dishes that will wow your family and friends. Bring the essence of Italy to your table. Grab your copy of The Basic Art of Italian Cooking, Holidays and Special Occasions, The Basic Art of Italian Cooking, Da Vinci Style, and The Basic Art of Italian Cooking at Amazon.com and anywhere books are sold, along with MariaLiberati.com and ArtOfLivingPrimaMedia.com.
So today we are, well, you know, Cinco de Mayo is coming up, and we're always looking to make that connection with food. And I always like to make the show part of my, actually for my listeners. So kind of make it their show. So today we have, I've invited Sebastian Garrido. We're actually traveling to Mexico City with him, and it's so pertinent for Cinco de Mayo, for our Cinco de Mayo kind of show. And he has a really lovely story that he wanted to share with us, and it's definitely a food connection. So Sebastian is from, again, he's in Mexico City. He's with a company called Vibe Adventures, and they are an online travel agency. Is that right, Sebastian? Yes. And
yeah, that's right.
So do you do tours just in Mexico?
No, we do tours in Mexico and in some parts of Latin America, and we're currently looking to expand.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. Okay, so Sebastian, I know you wrote the lovely story to me in an email. So tell us your story, your food connection.
Yeah, thank you, Maria. Yeah, as you say, food has a strong connection, and well, mine in particular, it's a bit, yeah, it's private until I decided to talk about it, but I feel confident in sharing it because I think it needs to be shared. Well, my story is that it's almost been 3 years since my father passed away. He passed away from cancer, sadly. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And well, there is the Mexican restaurant in Mexico City called Los Panchos. Uh-huh. It would be like translated in English to the Panchos. And well, this place has a lot of specialties in tacos, like, yeah, the tacos we all know a lot. But my father had some particular tastes, like he loved this called taco campechano. Like, it's a mixture of steak, or pork rinds. Sorry if I mispronounced it. Pork,
okay. Uh-huh.
Pork rinds, chicharrón,
uh-huh.
And the Spanish sausage that we called in Mexico longaniza. Uh-huh. And yeah, so this taco is a combination of that. He also loved something we called buche, that it's from the pork's belly.
Uh-huh.
It's delicious, even though I know it doesn't sound that delicious, but he also loved this.
Uh-huh.
And he loved this thing called petrolera, that is like, it's a tortilla, uh-huh, a really big one. and it has beans and, well, the cheese and the kind of meat that you want. Uh-huh. So he used to love like these items from this particular place. So a few months ago, I decided that I wanted to go back there by myself because I haven't been there since, yeah, my father passed away. Uh-huh. So I went there and I ordered all of his favorite food that he used to love from this place. Uh-huh. And actually, I started to cry when I was eating because I got that connection that I got all the memories that when I went to this place just with my dad. Uh-huh. So I felt like connecting with him again through food.
Through food.
I know it may sound like a little bit crazy.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, I felt like this strong connection.
Yes, thank we all you. Have such I a strong. This. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, thank you. No, don't worry. So, yeah, I got like this connection. I started to cry. I remembered all of these moments with my dad. And I felt, let's almost say, like relief because I think this is like the best tacos now that I had in my life because of this moment. Even though he wasn't there anymore, he was there in my heart with his spirit. And, well, in Mexico, we have a lot of beliefs like from heaven and all of that. Uh-huh. So it was, yeah, like that kind of connection. And I felt really happy afterwards. Uh-huh. And it was beautiful to remember all of that through food.
Yes, that's beautiful. And thank you. I'm sure it's very hard to share that story. I know I've lost my parents and sharing stories about them and having there's that strong connection with food. But there is, and at least you have that memory, which was a beautiful memory, and it was a connection through food. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Sebastian. Thank you. Oh, and happy Maria. Cinco de Mayo. Happy How do we say happy Cinco de Mayo? Do you say happy Cinco de Mayo?
Not usually, but if we say it, we say like Feliz Cinco de Mayo.
Feliz Cinco de Mayo. Okay, there you go, Feliz Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, that's right.
Great. Thank you so much for sharing that lovely memory with us. Thanks.
Sizzle in the kitchen with me and my Gourmand World award-winning book series, The Basic Art of Italian Cooking. Unleash your inner chef and transform your meals into Italian masterpieces. Get your copy today of The Basic Art of Italian Cooking, Holidays and Special Occasions, The Basic Art of Italian Cooking, Da Vinci Style, and The Basic Art of Italian Cooking, and taste the passion of Italy. You can get your copies on Amazon.com, at MariaLiberati.com, at ArtOfLivingPrimaMedia.com, on Kindle, and anywhere books are sold. Thanks for joining us here on the Maria Liberati Show. And if you have a story that you'd like to share that's food related or travel related, or you want to tell us what food means to you, you can send us an email at info@MariaLiberati.com. That's info@MariaLiberati.com. And someone from our staff will reach out to you. And for this week, I want to leave you with a thought from the late, great Italian director Federico Fellini, who said, "Life is a combination of magic and pasta." And as always, you can find me at MariaLiberati.com, on Instagram at Maria Liberati, on Facebook at Chef Maria Liberati, on my YouTube channel, The Maria Liberati Show, and on Vimeo at Maria Liberati. And you can find my Gourmand World award-winning book series at ArtOfLivingPrimaMedia.com, on Amazon and Kindle, and anywhere books are sold. And until next time, peace, love, and pasta.